All right. Okay. Do you have any other questions before we get started?
Nope, I don't think so.
Okay. All right. So I'm gonna turn the recorder on. All right. My name is Lena Evers Holstrom. Today is April 20th, 2020. I'm here with Jessica Lasky.
Lassiki, yes, very close.
Lasky. Okay. For the UW system restructuring project, oral history project. Jessica, can you say your last name and then spell it out?
Lassiki, LAESEKE.
All right, mic levels look good. Okay, so why don't we just get started with some of the like basics of how you got started with the UW colleges, and how long did you hold your position before restructuring started?
Sure. So I actually started with the UW Colleges as a student back in 2007. I was a student at the UW Richland campus from 2007 to 2009. And after to my 2009 year at Richland, I had talked with the continuing education department about some job openings that they had for the summer. A lot of what they did was youth programming throughout the summer, and I was looking for an extra job, and so I started working their youth programs in the summer of 2009. Shortly after I started working those programs, I went to go to UW-Platteville in the fall, and I decided I wanted to switch to online schooling, so then I actually started working part-time in the office in 2010. I was just kind of an office assistant part-time. We had a director who was there that had hired me, and she had left. And then a new director came in. He was only there for about 11 months. So then I started as a project assistant running the continuing education office in September of 2011. And I was in the project assistant role for about a year and a half. I was finishing my degree at the time, and they were hiring for a continuing education director, so I couldn't be the continuing education director in 2011, but I was basically doing the role that the continuing education director would have been doing starting in September of 2011. So in February of 2013, I became the continuing education director for UW Richland for the UW Colleges. And then that lasted a couple of years, and we went through some different times with budget cuts. So we ended up regionalizing, which was a very interesting time in the colleges, very difficult time in the colleges prior to restructuring. We all went through, starting in 2015, of having to basically reimagine what our offices would look like. Because as a continuing education director and in a lot of the other positions, there was 13 of us. There's 13 UW colleges. There was 13 positions that were similar to what I did at UW Richland, spread across the colleges. And when we regionalized, we went 13 people in those positions to 4 people in those positions. So I applied for the regional position and got that position. I would say in June of 2015, we had to start planning for what regionalization would look like, and I was on one of those committees. I had to apply for the regional job against colleagues that I had worked with, had grown really close with. So I had to apply against them in that fall of 2015, and basically we found out like December 17th if we had a job starting January 1st. With regionalization. So again, it was a very interesting time in the colleges. And so when we regionalized, I went from having just UW Richland to then working with UW Richland, UW Bearbrook County, and UW Rock County in Janesville. And then that lasted another couple of years before we restructured. And even in the restructuring process, we were trying to help define what restructuring would look like. And the comprehensives, or the receiving institutions that were coming in, obviously had their own thoughts on how things would work as well, and their own plans. So once we were restructuring, I stayed on for a little bit and finished out our summer programs, but then I left the campus in 2008, fall of 2018.
All right. Regionalization has definitely come up before as sort of like a piece in this. I was wondering, do you want to expand at all on sort of like the process of regionalizing? I know you said it was kind of difficult, but
So regionalization was extremely difficult. It was difficult for anybody. So we had a central office in the UW colleges, and there was always, I think, what seems like to be a disconnect between our central office in Madison and our campuses. Whether there should have been or not, it always seemed that there was a disconnect, because you'd have people on campuses who actually, you know, worked with the students day in and day out, saw the struggles that were going on, you know, had classes to run, had things like that going on. And then you had our folks in the central office who were trying to plan for better things, or make sure that we were up on the latest pieces of curriculum and academics and technology that we should be, you know, all of that kind of stuff. But then it just always seemed like there was this lack of understanding of, well, they don't really understand what it's like on the campuses. They don't really understand what it's like on the campuses. So when regionalization was announced that this would be happening, it basically tore hearts, I would say, out of people on the campuses, because the campuses, I mean, they were the lifeblood of the colleges, and students that went to the UW colleges didn't know they went to the UW colleges most of the time. Students that were at UW Richland knew they were at UW Richland. They didn't realize really that it was part of, you know, 12 other campuses that were part of UW colleges. So it was very much a localized thing, and the marketing was always localized, and the advertising was always localized. I mean, it was also done on a larger forefront as well for the UW colleges, but again, you could go to any one of those campuses and they'd be like, yeah, I'm a student at Barron County, or I'm a student at Richland, and they'd be like, oh yeah, you're part of the UW colleges. What's the UW colleges? And so that's kind of where, you know, some of that disconnect was as well, and just not realizing that it was part of the whole, because that's not how it came across in advertising. You wanted your local campus to be out there and to be aware. And so I was part of UW Richland, and I was an alum of UW Richland. Well, there was also about 8 or 9 other staff members that had gone to UW Richland or had been a part of UW Richland. And so, you know, you kind of lived and breathed your campus, and you poured it all into your campus. So when regionalization came out, it was all of a sudden going to be that you were going to have to work with, you know, for these other campuses, or that things were not going to be as localized as they were before. You know, you had to cut staff, right? When we went from 13 people in some positions down to 4. And then there were other staff cuts where we had more regionalized marketing, regionalized student services, regionalized business services, regionalized continuing education. I mean, so many of those things people felt like were going off the campus. And in the regional structure, everybody, of course, was just afraid that their campus wouldn't be at the forefront of whoever's mind that was, who was doing that position. And rightfully so, I get that. And so there was a lot of uncertainty. There was a lot of people that were scared about what was going to happen, and just felt like that local control that they had before was being taken away, or that local identity was going to be taken away because things were going to be on a regional forefront. Also, with regionalization, you then, whoever was regional in their title, became basically like a central employee and not an employee of just UW Richland or UW Bear-Bissau County or UW Rock County. So then, quite honestly, because so many people at first were so opposed to regionalization within the campuses, it didn't matter what campus you were on before, what you were trying to do, you were automatically disliked because you had regional in your title. So starting in January, we went to the campuses to try to learn about the different campuses. I mean, we had our own campus that we came from that we were very much aware of, right? But even though we were all part of the UW colleges, each campus was very unique in their structure and different things that they did. We had some of the same general processes, but how you got there and the different pieces that went into it in your programs were different. And that's what everybody wanted to make sure that was still maintained, is that difference that they had between the campuses. Because if you're not different, then why would students come to you? There would be going, they could go to any campus because you're all the same. So what's the difference? So going in, I had worked with someone for several years and I applied against her basically for the regional position. And so that was difficult. So you were going and applying against a job with people that you grew to work with, that you grew to like, that you grew to become friends with. And so after that, obviously there was tensions as well. And then you would go, going to the campus where another person was in the position that obviously was well liked by their colleagues, whether they applied for the position or not, you weren't that person. And so it was difficult for people to see you in the new role because you weren't the person that was previously there. And some of those people were there for 20 years, some of those, 10, 15, anywhere in those numbers. And so it was difficult all around to come in and say, okay, like this is what has to happen now, or I am the person. So there was a lot of, backhanded comments that occurred throughout the whole process, and there was a lot of trust that had to be gained. And so I know different people struggled with it in different ways, and I will say that I grew a much thicker skin in those 2.5 years that we were in regionalization. But the biggest thing is I had to realize that it wasn't me. It wasn't directed at me. It was the whole situation, and I was just one of the people, that kind of represented the situation. That's why I was receiving a lot of the dislike at first, I guess we'll say that. You received. And then eventually campuses started coming around after you again gained their trust a little bit. You gained the community trust, you gained the trust of the people on the campuses, realizing, oh, they are showing up, they do care, those types of things. And so then it did get easier. And I would say shortly before we were announced with the restructuring project, we were kind of in our groove and we were really doing our thing, and everybody, I think, was in a really decent place at that time. I mean, some people still obviously disliked the regionalization and they were going to fight it to their grave regardless. It didn't matter what was going to happen. But I felt like we were finally in a really good place. And then I was on my way to Janesville that day to work and I found out about restructuring. So it was just like another big, I would say, like explosion within the UW colleges of, okay, now what's going to happen?
I guess going into that, how did you find out about the plans to restructure?
How did I find out about the plans to restructure? Okay, so because we were regionalized, basically any time that you went to another campus, you had meetings all day, or you had face-to-face things that you had to do the whole day. So you knew that you weren't going to catch up on your email or anything like that, and they were still not slowing down, right? Your email never slows down. So I installed an app on my phone that read me my emails, so that while I was driving, because Janesville from my house was 2 hours and 15 minutes from my house. So that was a lot of downtime. That's 4.5 hours in the vehicle anytime I had to go to Janesville, that I could at least like go through some emails, delete them. They're read to me, get rid of them, whatever. And so I was on, my app was on, and I was about a half hour into my drive when the email read to me that we were restructuring and there was going to be a teleconference that day to discuss it further. So I turned around and went back to my campus, the main campus that I had worked with that's closest to my house. And then just sat in on the town hall, tried to, I mean, there was so much uncertainty about what was going to happen at first, about who was going to stay. It was very nice that we were given a guarantee at that point, and not quite at that point, but shortly after, that said, if you can kind of ride it out with us for a little bit, help figure out how this restructuring is going to work, we'll guarantee your position for up to 2 years. at the current salary, making sure that you stay busy, doing things. So that way they didn't have everybody leaving that knew what was going on, because that could have also been a complete disaster.
Yeah, I'm curious what was that town hall like?
I mean, it's just so at the first one, I mean, there was just a lot of uncertainty, and it was more of just information being given to us, like, this is kind of what's happening, this is the new plan. And that's kind of what it was. There was so much uncertainty, I would say, for the first couple of months. There wasn't a lot of details. It just was, this is what's going to happen, but a lot of the details weren't out yet. And they were trying to have the comprehensives or the receiving institutions kind of help to figure out some of those details and how things were going to work. But I would say as kind of things progressed and you found more information out, you definitely had people who were concerned, who were worried. I mean, again, you're going to go from, the people, not just regional folks, but people on campuses saying, are we going to be okay? Are we not going to be okay? But especially the regional people saying, yeah, I'm not sure I'm going to have a job after this, because, you worked for three different campuses and you're going to have a receiving institution coming in and they're not going to want you working for three different campuses. They're not going to want you working for two different campuses unless two of those campuses are part of their receiving institution. And then you had the people, so you had the worry from some, and then you also had like the, yes, this is the best thing ever, from some people as well, because those were also the folks who were very against regionalization. So in particular with Richland, Richland originally, a very long time ago when they started, was part of UW-Platteville. And so they were like, yes, we're going back to our roots, that's fine. We still weren't, I mean, we were kind of getting used to regionalization, but still not happy about it. So for them, they felt like this was going to be a saving grace, because they were going to go back to UW-Platteville. Everything was going to be great. Regionalization was going to be gone. Hallelujah.
That's so interesting too, because like that sort of goes to the point of sort of like local identity and how like just how different that can be like between campuses.
Yep, absolutely. And what's interesting and kind of humorous about it all as well, is, some campuses, again, that were so opposed to the regionalization, it was like, well, you're going to receiving institution, but you're still going to be in a regional model. You're going to have a main campus, and then you're going to have your campus, and then, possibly another campus, depending on what it is. And you're going to have people working on behalf of all, in Richland and Baraboo's case and Platteville, all three of those campuses. So that's still a regional model. But it didn't matter, because that's not how some folks saw it, because again, it was just, regionalization was like a curse word when it happened in the UW colleges. So anything that, isn't that was better.
Why what why was regionalization so I mean, I'm just wondering, I don't, yeah, I mean,
Why were people so against it?
yeah, I mean, like, I guess you sort of talked about it, but like, yeah, I guess, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, there was a lot of fears, and some of them were rational, and some of them were very irrational. It was different. And some people in general just don't like change, and it doesn't matter what the change is going to be. It's just not going to be what they want. But a lot of it is you. On each of the campuses, so imagine this. You have a campus, you've worked with people on that campus for years. Maybe some people you've even only worked with a year, 2 years, whatever. Regardless, in that amount of time and in a small campus, you get to know those people. You get to appreciate and respect all of those people. So then you're going to be regionalized. And again, you went from 13 people down to four. So you look around at each of those campuses and you know that you're not going to be working with the same people that you were working with. It's going to be a different environment. You're going to have people coming in from different campuses that have different ideas and have different thoughts, good, bad, or otherwise. It doesn't matter. It's different. And so you know, you have people who are applying for jobs that you grew to respect and love. Like, you have a dean from UW-Richland that people were very respected of, who spoke out against different things that they didn't like and appreciate. And now in regionalization, you have a dean coming in from a campus up north that you never really met, never really gotten to know. And so you're just kind of like starting over, and you weren't involved in the interview process at all. So that's kind of how campus has felt, is like you as in our like central office. I mean, there was an interview committee, there was an interview process, but not necessarily people on those campuses were represented during that interview process. So it was kind of like the people were chosen for them with, you know what I'm saying, without them having a say in it. So it, that mm-hmm. part was difficult in general as well, of having these different people coming in, and you didn't meet them. You didn't see their resume. You didn't have the interview with them. You didn't know that. You just had to trust that they were the people that were best selected for the job. So you start with the deans, and basically the dean's interview committee was the chancellor and some other folks in the central office. Well, campuses, we already know how they felt about the central office at times and weren't always thrilled with their decision making. So you have the central office choosing the dean, and then after the dean is on the committee with other folks in the central office, some community members and some at least one representative sometimes from the campuses, but not all the campuses, right? So like my interview committee was a representative, a professor from the Marshfield campus, and then some folks from our central office, and then another person who was selected in a regional position. So in my region and in most of the other regions, there was no one that had a voice in that process at all. So the dean ultimately then helped to kind of finalize. He was in on the interviews or received feedback from the interviews, or he or she, and then they were the ones who selected final, you know, the finals or who was going to eventually have that position. So like the dean who came from Manitowoc down to the Southwest region for Richland, Baraboo, and Janesville is ultimately the one who chose for me to have the regional position as the continuing education person. And again, Richland people knew me, but people from Baraboo didn't know me. People from Janesville didn't know me. And even Richland, because now I had the regional in my title, and it just, people were so upset about regionalization and having that local identity potentially stripped, having staffing cuts, losing people they grew to respect, all of those different things. And then also being fearful of, well, why would our regional folks put their marketing and efforts into keeping Richland open when they've got Baraboo and Janesville who are much larger? That's where their efforts are going to go. So there was that scaredness as well of people thinking, are we going to have a campus soon? Are they going to care to keep us open? You know, why would they put their efforts into this campus? So there's a lot of feelings, a lot of emotions. And then you add to it the fact that people just aren't good with change in general, and all of it's scary. So you had to have the keep the respect or increase the respect to the people that you had worked with previously, but then also gain the respect of the people who didn't know you, didn't have any part in choosing you in the position, while also, you know, trying to move things along. But then people were also, I don't know what I want to say, they had curtains on or shutters on for the previous people that were in positions too, right? So you got used to how that information was presented, how that information came across to you from a person, say, in a dean's role or in a business manager's role or in student affairs role, and then you have people who present it differently. And so there's this whole new like learning process with all of this that was going on too. And then regional folks were trying to learn as we're going on too, because, you know, you're trying to get to know other campuses, but you're also trying to keep up with what you have to do. So our jobs were multiplied, you know, by three, basically, because you had your one job before, and now you've got two more that you add to it. And in the North region, they had three, four campuses total in the North region. So it was all interesting.
Yeah, I can only imagine. What did that look like from a continuing education perspective?
Yeah, so from continuing education, it was helpful that, and you wouldn't think this because I worked with Richland, that was the smallest campus, but it actually had the most youth programs and non-credit programs for adults, I would say, than the other campuses, even though it was the smallest, especially with youth outreach that we did, and we had some international students coming in and things like that. But what I did is I just tried to you tried to not necessarily mirror what was going on, but try to get to know the community a little bit and figure out what will work in this community. Will similar things work? And and then find new instructors that you can have as well. But you're also trying to get to know the business community and the community as a whole. And so one thing that we did, not the very first, because we started in January and you already start programs at the end of January, but starting that following summer and fall is we did a regional catalog, which was really nice because Baraboo and Richland are only an hour away. And so we did a regional catalog that had courses and information for continuing education in for Janesville, Baraboo, and Richland. All three campuses were in one catalog. So we were able to kind of put our marketing dollars in a little bit better, expand our reach. So we, reached out to people maybe we hadn't reached out to before, and so our new customer base increased, and then we were able to get new instructors and things like that. But it was also just trying to think of things in that regional way, especially for Baraboo and Richland, is who can I share instructors with? Can this instructor go to this campus because it's not that far away? Can I do something in the middle? So I would do some different classes in Plain because it was in the middle of Baraboo and Richland. So it was just trying to think of different ways to expand. And different ways to offer things to the community, and not necessarily people that were just in the communities we served previously, but expand beyond those communities a little bit now since we were in a regional framework. So that way we could, spread the campus information out there a little bit better than we had before.
So how would you market to people in that regional model?
Yeah, so we did a regional catalog. We did a regional catalog a couple times a year. We did some newspaper inserts and things like that. So what I tried to be conscious of is trying to keep some of that marketing that had been done previously. And at Richland, I always knew what the marketing was because I had been doing it for several years. But Baraboo, they had every campus always sent out to their previous customers. They had always sent out information, to people who had taken classes previously. But sometimes that's kind of where it ended because continuing education is different from the other departments as well, that we were a completely cost recovery program. So if you didn't make your money and be able to pay for all your staff, all your supplies, everything, all of your expenses, then you had to sometimes people had to lay themselves off or had to do other things like that. So we were not supposed to rely on the campuses or anybody for money. And then if we made money in the continuing education office, some of that went back to the campuses outside of our department. So we were different. And so what it did in the regional model is it allowed us to leverage the money of the three campuses together a little bit for that marketing. So instead of Richland just putting in, $1,000 for marketing and Baraboo doing it there and Janesville doing it there with whatever they had previously spent, we were able to put all that together and to be able to reach further than we had before. We also were trying to invest when we first started into increasing the client base because colleges, and obviously, we mean that it doesn't exist anymore, were unfortunately one of the better kept secrets as well, is that, if you knew about them, you knew about them, but a lot of people still didn't know about them. I didn't even know that UW Richland was a campus until I was in high school, and I only lived 15 minutes away from Richland Center and was in Richland Center all the time.
What?
But it's because I was at the other end of town. So you didn't. It wasn't always out there in front of you, if you're not paying attention to it. So that was like that for other campuses too, is they were unfortunately some of the best kept secrets. And if you went there, you fell in love and it was amazing. But some people really still didn't know about it. And same thing in the continuing education world. Well, what is that? What do you do? What happens at that camp? I've never been there. Or people thinking, I didn't graduate high school. I can't go to that campus. Well, yes, you can. It's that's not we're not snooty palooties or anything like that. You can go to any of the campuses. And so then I tried to also market, you can always use our library, you can come to use our computers, and trying to get people to just be more comfortable in the campuses in general. So again, with the regional marketing, we put everything together, and then we also still kept some things localized or expanded on what was done localized. So with Baraboo, putting more inserts into their papers that went out in circulation, which was pretty cost effective because they printed the inserts for you, they inserted them for you. And so it was very cost effective to get out to reach a large amount of people, and then we could get more people coming into these programs to hear about it. So I was just trying to think creatively about how do I take this money that we have and expand upon it, but then also make sure that I'm covering all these costs, because we have to be cost recovery.
Is part of that like thinking about maybe like the demographics that take continuing education classes?
Yes. And so then we would even use, thinking about the demographics, and then even using like Facebook posts, boosting Facebook posts, expanding that reach, because you could select a certain age group, a certain interest, you know, people's hobbies and things like that. And then you could go ahead and you could market to those people individually. And so we saw people increasing that way too. But then you also had to be conscious of the fact that like a lot of our audience, a lot of our customers are, you know, mid 50s or late 40s to 70s. So a lot of those folks are not necessarily a lot, but they weren't necessarily using Facebook and things like that. So you still had to keep some of the other ones. So it was trying to just be, not throw the spaghetti at the ceiling, I guess I would say, with them when the marketing and stuff came about, is trying to be cognizant of what is really going to get me to my target audience. How do I expand upon this? And then having different, we did different things at the campuses too, like free lectures for the community just to bring people in and make people more aware of what we did. And that was a form of advertising. And then we did some different career development programs for kids and things like that. And then we could advertise our summer programs, or at least have them on campus so they knew that UW-Richland or UW-Baraboosa County or UW-Rock County was a thing before they got to high school.
Oh yeah, that's kind of smart. I never would have thought about it that way. That's kind of,
Yeah, so we were cost recovery, but then we also tried to do things for the campus as a whole just to increase that base. Granted, having kids come, you know, earlier and having them think, oh, okay, I was at that campus, and have them walk away with some, you know, like some cool things that were relatively cheap to produce or whatever, it was nice. But then it also just exposed us so that we could send home what we did for summer programs for youth and things like that too, so that they were more aware of everything on the campus that was available, because our campuses served kids starting in kindergarten. You know, if they wanted to, those programs were available on some campuses from kindergarten for sure, most campuses by fourth grade through high school, because we did ACT prep and everything too, and then you can come into college. So we did things for all different age groups. It was just making sure people, again, were aware.
Yeah. Did you find at all that there were different or kind of similar, I don't know, like levels of engagement between those three communities?
I would say that Baraboo had the best level of engagement from a campus. But in particular within the Southwest region, Baraboo had the most support from their county and their city government. So they were shared, because it's Baraboo Sauk County, so the city of Baraboo and the county of Sauk both had things to do with the campus. So they had different people that were on those boards or things like that. And then different funding came from the city and from the government or from the county. And you could tell that they really cared and they were investing in the different things for that campus. Richland County, I mean, we struggle financially sometimes. And so it wasn't necessarily that the county board didn't care, didn't want to put money in. It was that the funds were so stretched between everything else that there wasn't a ton of reinvesting in the campus. And you can tell that it looks like it did when it was in 1950. And then Janesville, I think it's so large, you know, in Rock County, and you have the Black Hawk Tech and the technical colleges, and the technical colleges, you know, they tax taxpayers directly. And you can tell, you know, we have a marketing dollar, you know, at Richland, we had a marketing dollars of $10,000 or something like that on the campuses. And our central office had some funds as well that they that they did on behalf of all 13 campuses. But you compare that with, you know, several hundred thousand up to $1 million for a technical school, and there's no way we can compete. And then when you start adding in that technical colleges can start offering associate degree programs and direct transfer, which is what our mission in the UW colleges is supposed to be, you get drowned out. So if you, you know, in Janesville, you're a couple miles from Blackhawk Technical College, that's outshining all the time. So it's just hard, and it's not necessarily where they were built always in visible locations. Janesville, Rock County wasn't off the main road or anything like that. It was kind of in the little communities area, a lot of houses around it, nothing, you know, you had to go down, I don't know, 9-10 blocks to reach the main road, stuff like that. So all of that was kind of tricky in making sure that people were more visible and campuses were more visible and represented. But I would say you could definitely tell the most care and upkeep was at Baraboosaw County.
So sort of going into restructuring, were you hearing from people in these communities? What were the reactions of people that you worked with, that were working with the county?
Yeah, so again, I think there was some hesitation, but I think in general it was optimism, because regionalization again was hard, and it was so strongly opposed when it first came about. And we weren't in regionalization that long, like I said. You know, it was about 2.5 years in when we got the news that, not even quite 2.5 years, that we got the news that we were going to restructure. So people were getting used to regionalization, but they were still okay with switching at that point. You know, it hadn't been 5 years, it hadn't been 10 years or anything like that. I think, you know, the longer the regionalization would have gone on, the better that it would have happened. I mean, people would have started coming around more. Again, we were kind of getting in our groove of things and stuff like that. So just when restructuring happened, it was far enough into regionalization that it wasn't too far. So there was still like a time period where people were happy and okay to switch and make a switch to do something else. But again, I think overall it was the same kind of concerns that people had in wanting to make sure that the campus identity was maintained, the community identity was maintained, the services were maintained. But the hope was that staffing would increase at those campuses in restructuring, because regionalization staffing was cut. So they were hoping that staffing would increase amongst all the locations. But UW colleges, we had always been super efficient in everything we did. I mean, you took a person like me in the continuing education office, and what I did, there were 4 or 5 people that did that same thing at the comprehensive level, because we had to be one person doing that. It doesn't mean that our volume of what we did was the same. You know, I couldn't do as much as one person that 5 people could do at another campus, but I had to know enough about all those 5 areas to be able to represent them in the UW colleges. Versus, you know, kind of everybody being more siloed, I would say, at the comprehensive campuses. So I think people in general were okay with the switch, excited about some possibilities that they maybe didn't like about the regional model and what that might bring. But there was obviously some hesitation as well. And I think the people maybe who were most concerned were folks in the central and the regional positions, because we didn't know if there was going to be a need for us. We knew there was going to be a need for us in the process of figuring out how restructuring was going to work, or to at least explain how we had done things in the colleges, and then make the, you know, those receiving institutions could figure out what they needed to figure out for themselves after learning kind of the background and stuff on it. But you could also definitely tell in certain situations, not all situations, that there was like a, you know, well, you guys, you know, in the colleges, you struggle financially, or you struggle this way. Why would we do the things the same way? Which makes sense, right? If we were having some troubles, well, why would we continue in that same direction? But so I think some things were heard, and when you went into the restructuring, that the comprehensives wanted to hear. But I would say all of the comprehensives definitely had their own agenda and their own plan and wanted to protect their own staffing. So that was also a concern that professors had, as well as both if you were at the campus that was going to be receiving a campus and if you were at the branch campus, it was, are we still going to have positions in general? I think was the concern on anybody's mind. You know, you already have an English department at Blaville. Do you need an English department at Richland, or do you need those same staffing positions? And so it was kind of all over. And I would say that professors were more affected when we went to restructuring and wondering about their jobs, whether they were non-academic instructional staff or whether they were faculty. They were more concerned in switching to a restructuring model versus the regional model, because in the regional model they really weren't affected. Well, I will say they weren't affected by positions, they were affected by the overall change.
Yeah. Did you see that at all with like continuing ed instructors specifically, or?
No, because again, I mean, our continuing education and instructors are very different than the comprehensive campuses and everything too. So, I mean, between the three campuses, we had about 225, they were called independent contractors, basically, who would come in and teach courses for continuing education. Our base just kept growing. Again, if we could cover our costs, that was the main thing. And if we could continue to do that, then we could continue to grow. So our instructors were not affected. In fact, some of them increased their what they had before because they were willing to go to other campuses and try different things.
So I guess now we're sort of at the phases of restructuring. I know you work as a project person now, right?
Well, yeah. So during the whole process, so basically we found out, like I said, I think it was the fall of 2017. Yeah, that we found out. So we were a year and a half into restructuring, not 2.5 years. Sorry. You had a lot of meetings. You had a lot of meetings at the campuses figuring out how this would work, explaining what you did. What is this program? What is that program? Where does the funding come from? How does this work? All of that kind of stuff was kind of what happened for about 6 months or so. And I was offered a position from Platteville to stay on. A lot of people were offered different positions to stay on if they wanted to. And I couldn't accept the position to stay on for continuing education because it was a vast decrease in my salary doing, you know, kind of the same thing I was doing for Baraboo and for Richland. But financially, and like, we couldn't make that switch in the couple of months that it would have taken to be able to, you know, completely change how that would work in our household. So I wasn't able to stay on for Platteville, but they did ask me to stay on for the summer programs to help move things out. So there wasn't really any like animosity or anything like that in the whole thing. It was just, you know, financially, I just can't do it. I'm sorry. And we still had our guarantee with the colleges for another about a year and a half or so. So I had to take that chance and make my finances work with whatever was going to happen that way versus what was going to happen in those couple of months that Platteville was offering me the change that they had to make. So when I was I worked out the summer programs, kind of talked to them about all of that. I stayed on for a little bit until they hired another person, which was in October of that year. And then I started working part-time for the project management office in Madison for UW Systems. So that was my reassignment for the next year while I finished working on the contract that we had basically with the UW colleges. So I was then the project manager. I was working on different things with the restructuring project. And then Colleen Godfrio, who was our head of admin and finance for UW Colleges, she found out that I was in the project management office and asked if I could help in the closeout for UW Colleges admin and finance unit, which is, you know, very bittersweet. Working in the project management office when I first started, it was only about a month before Colleen found out I was there. It was still bittersweet, but you weren't as directly involved because you were kind of helping other campuses and, you know, providing input and working on different projects. But then when you really get down digging into closing out a specific unit of the UW colleges, it's definitely bittersweet because you're trying to move it all along, but you're trying to not, it's hard because you worked there and you were part of that institution for so long. So it was difficult. But it worked out well, and I worked with different groups within UW system across regional camp, receiving institutions. I worked with the UW system office and things like that, and then did that for about a year, and then I applied to be the budget accountant for UW system. So that's actually my current role, is I'm UW system's budget accountant, working in the admin and finance office of UW system.
For admin and finance, you were shutting down the finances.
I was the project manager for admin and finance, and so it kind of spread across different areas. It was auxiliary services, so making sure, like, what's going to happen with textbook rental? What's going to happen with food service contracts? What's going to happen with those areas? And there was another group that was largely following up on that too. So we didn't have as much involvement, but it was kind of everything that could touch admin and finance in some way, shape, or form. And then we had the bursar's office. So there were different things that were involved with admin and finance under the bursar's office. So I worked with the bursars to make sure, who's going to do the 1098-Ts and who's going to do this. I mean, there was different task lists, and there was 135 different closeout tasks for admin and finance that touched these various areas. It was working with procurement to make sure certain contracts were moved or certain contracts were shut down, or, what's going to happen with this contract? Are the campuses continuing these? Are they not continuing these? So it was sitting in on those meetings and things like that too, to work through what was happening and really just kind of being the point person for anything that's involved with admin and finance. And what was really smart about it is there were conversations that would occur with the procurement group that were also occurring with the bursars group or occurring with the controllers group. And so I could be that person that kind of brought everything full circle for people and said, hey, this group is also talking about it. They don't really want this to continue, and kind of loop everybody in on what was going on, versus having, because what we had in the project management office is everyone was assigned to different groups. So you had someone that sat in on the bursar's group, you had someone that sat in on the controller's group in these different areas, but they didn't necessarily talk amongst each other. So even if we had someone already in the project management office who was part of these work groups and these closeout groups, I also joined them because they touched admin and finance, and then I could bring everything full circle for that group too, so that the communication, I think, was better in closing those out. And then with the controllers, that was where most of the tasks resided, and that was a lot of even thinking about how do we access our programs like Wisdom and Wiser to be able to see our finances from previous years within the UW colleges, and how are we going to look at them going forward, and then who's going to collect the mail once UW Colleges is no longer there? I mean, so it was a multitude of different tasks from that to how are these costs going to get redistributed to the regional campuses that we kind of collectively held at the central office? How is that going to get redispersed so that everybody isn't feeling, like they're having to pay more or pay less and things like that?
The mail?
Yeah, even sorting, the mail. Who's going to collect it? Because if the colleges and you don't have any employees coming in, but it's still coming to the UW colleges, who's going to collect it?
Oh, man.
I mean, it was stuff like that minute to, like I said, much larger things and everything kind of in between. Because, we still have a couple of people who are finishing out their contracts with the UW colleges. We have a couple people who end in June, and then a couple people that end this November. So I think we have 3 or 4 people left, and that's it. But if they're not there and you still have mail coming in, because people are still sending checks to UW colleges, or they still are sending things, we have a bunch of, there were checks out there that we had sent refunds to students and students hadn't cashed them. So then we have, you by law, you still have 5 years that they can cash those checks. So you have to keep reissuing them if they need them, or you have to do a write-off under that policy as well. I mean, so there was a lot of different things that you wouldn't think about that were happening.
Yeah. Oh man. That sounds like a lot of stuff to think about. Does anything from that process strike you as sort of the thing that you were dealing with the most, or that people had the most discussion about?
I mean, it kind of is, it's kind of humorous in a way, but it goes back to, and I had to explain this to the project management office a little bit too, is, you know, in the colleges, again, everybody kind of had that local identity, that uniqueness and everything about them, but some of our processes were the same. Same thing with the regional, you know, the receiving institutions. The comprehensives feel the exact same way that we did in the colleges. We have some of this, or this is only a Platteville thing, or this is only a Stevens Point thing, or this is only, you know what I mean? Like, that kind of stuff still occurred as well. So some things that I had to say is, in the colleges, the difference was we were very collaborative, because yes, we were each of those 13 individual campuses, but we were collectively part of UW colleges. And so we, you know, had to pay money into the central office and things like that, but we were kind of helping to support each other as well. Where the difference in the comprehensives are, is that they're not necessarily, well, I mean, they do have to pay some things in or are covered with UW system, but basically the comprehensives do not want to share information of any kind. Usually, I mean, you have some people who do, but everything is very territorial with the comprehensive campuses, because you're competing against somebody else. Platteville is competing against Whitewater. Even though we're part of UW system, they're competing for the same students. All of those campuses are competing for the same students. So when you're trying to share information about what could make things easier for campuses, campuses aren't necessarily forthcoming in that, or, you know, how did you do this for students, or how did you do that? It's not necessarily, again, forthcoming information, because you don't want to give another campus, or at least that's how it seemed to be, I guess, when you'd have your meetings and stuff, you don't want to give that other campus the edge, because you are in competition with each other. So something I would explain is, we are a UW system, but we are a system, unfortunately, that does not function like a system. Everybody's kind of thinking they're out for themselves, trying to get the students, and I get it. I mean, everybody's competing to recruit students, and there's less students to recruit. So it's a very difficult thing.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of puts the colleges in like a different, or the former colleges in a different place too, being part of those 4 years. So I guess, let's see. Sorry, I'm just looking.
No, it's okay. No, I gave you a lot of stuff.
I guess, were there specific areas where you noticed that, things were highly competitive?
Well, and so the areas that I worked with, again, were closer related to admin and finance. And the group that I worked the most with was the controller's office. Mm-hmm. So, you didn't see it maybe as much as you saw in other areas, but different project managers would bring up, hey, you know, we're trying to some campuses, it sounds like, want to talk about different marketing things, as an example, or different ways they're going to do this. But then it seems like people don't want to share that. And I would say, well, yeah, they don't want to share it because they're competing with each other. So they don't want to share something that's going to give the other campus the edge and have something taken away from them. Because, you know, that's kind of what started the downfall of the UW colleges, is because, again, you had... You think about all the private universities in the state. You have the technical schools, you have UW colleges, and you have the comprehensive campuses. So you have all of those people competing over fewer students. You have more campuses, and now you have people who are doing the same types of things. So you have comprehensives who are starting to take students that maybe only would go to the UW colleges before, and you have the technical schools who are offering general education and associate degrees and guaranteed transfer, which is what the UW colleges did. So everybody in the state was basically stepping on what everybody else did, and that's why you have some campuses who aren't going to survive.
Yeah.
And I have one child waking up.
Oh.
He's going to be crying. Do you have any other questions?
No, you have to go. Yeah.
If you do think of anything, just tell me. I mean, I can jump on for like a quick whatever call or answer any questions through email too. That's completely fine.
Oh no. This was great. I guess before you go, do you have anything else you want to add?
I don't think so. I
Okay.
mean, I can't really give a, I mean, I can see it from the perspective that I worked with in the restructuring project, but figuring out how the restructuring is going now for campuses, I can't answer that question. I mean, I can answer it hearsay from what I'm hearing from people that I had worked with before, but not firsthand at all in that. So I think there's still fear if some campuses will exist in the future, but that's just going to be a fear in general across the nation. When you have, more universities, online universities, different flexibilities, and you have fewer students in that pot who can attend those, especially in Wisconsin with graduation rates down, or students in schools down, not necessarily graduation rates, but because people don't want to think about higher education as a business, but it really is. And your business is, providing an education to students. And, at some point, your clientele is going to decrease, and it is decreasing. And campuses like UW-Madison and UW-Milwaukee, they're probably always going to be just fine because they're big and they're attractive to people in state and out of state, regardless. And so when they don't have to be as picky anymore, maybe about the amount of the students that they take in, or you know what I mean? Like maybe their ACT score before was 24 and now it's 23, stuff like that. They're going to take away from those other campuses that students would normally have gone to that couldn't get into Madison. So the Madisons and the Milwaukees are always going to be fine because they will always have their numbers. It's the other campuses that you wonder about.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Well, thank you for taking the time to talk with me. I really appreciated it.
Sorry about all the
What?
cancels. I said sorry about all the cancels and stuff, and then we had all this.
Oh, no. No, it's things have been changing so rapidly that it's just like, oh, man. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, have a good rest of your day.
Okay. Yes, you too.
All right.
So if
Bye.
there's anything, just tell me.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely, of course. Oh, and I will email you the release form. So you're gonna have three options. Your first is open access, and then the other two are different levels of limited access, so you can embargo an interview for a certain number of years if you want to. The only difference between those two options are that the second one would only limit online access, so if someone wanted to listen to the interview in person, they could. And the third is both in person and online, embargoed until a certain date. So, yeah.
Sure. No, I don't think I said anything that's going to incriminate anybody or anything, so I think we're just fine.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll let you get back to your day. All right.
Right, thank you.
Thank you. Bye.